you believe it?
Can
you believe it? We crown the king.
It's the official K1 podcast, K1 Battlecast.
Oh, the slugfest!
You'll get news, fight reviews, and fighter interviews.
Oh, the best of us!
And now, your hosts, Michael Shavero and Jonathan Shea.
It's good night, Iran!
Welcome back to K1 Battlecast, K1's official podcast. My name is Jonathan Shear, and if you're wondering where Michael Shavello is, well, he's probably off commentating the horse races in Monaco or some other exciting adventure, but I'm here to hold down the fort. So this week, we're going to continue our series on the K1 World Max 2024 final, which took place at the Yoyogi National Gymnasium on July 7th. I'm sure many of you have already seen it. If you haven't, check out the pay-per-view. It's still available, and we're going to continue our breakdown of the fights that took place on that amazing night. So this week, we're going to cover the third and fourth bouts. And the next showdown, we're going to look at the fight between Romano Backboard and Viktor Akimov. And I have to say that personally, this match was full of surprises for me. It didn't last the full 9 minutes. It only went 3 minutes and 9 seconds. But we'll get to that in a second. Now, leading up to it, I'd had several opportunities to speak with Romano, and we interviewed him as part of the production team. We got a chance to interview him for his hype video, and I was responsible for gathering the marketing materials from all the fighters, so I was in contact with Romano quite a few times, and we had some fun, interesting conversations. And I always want to remain professionally detached from the outcome of all the fights. I think it's only fair to not like root for anyone when you're involved in the production. You kind of have to root for everyone, but I just couldn't help but feel a bit of connection to Romano's backstory, and let's just say that elementary school wasn't that much fun for me either. And so his story really resonated with me. Romano was coming off an incredible victory over Tananchai in the qualifying round, where Romano was penalized a point for not making weight. He also had to wear 10-ounce gloves instead of 8-ounce gloves. And he took him, I think, to an extension round win over Tananchai. So it was really... you know, he had my expectation for the victory in this fight. We'll just go into it with that. Now, Viktor Akimov, the Russian adventurer, had a remarkable journey to the quarterfinals. He started kickboxing late. He was in his mid-20s, and he was training at a smaller gym in Japan. No offense to the people at the gym where he's training, but the idea is that he's not training at a major gym, and therefore he doesn't maybe have the same team or the same kind of resources as at his disposal to really break down and work on the fight with Romano, for one, but everyone else for sure. And he up until this point had defied expectations, and he would continue to defy expectations all throughout this fight. Let's take a closer look without revealing what happened. I mean, y'all know what happened, but we're gonna just recount the tale one more time here today. And again an amazing night that was commentated by the excellent Michael Shavello and Stuart Fulton. Thank you, gentlemen, for your fun commentary on that night. And it was a pleasure to work with you, as always. But okay, getting into it, here's the showdown between the monkey and the Russian adventurer. Here we go.
Quarterfinal number 3. The Russian Popeye versus the conqueror of bullies. They've KO'd almost 60% of their opponents combined. It's time for either Akimov or Romano Backboard to add to the tally. 3x3-minute rounds, one extra round in case of a draw. 3 judges ringside scoring on a 10-point must system. Michael Shavello, Stuart Fulton with you. Southpaw stance on Viktor Akimov. Very high IQ, a Mensa fighter, Viktor Akimov. Buckboard with grit and determination. He can be a human sponge and absorb all sorts of punishment, Romano Buckboard. Inside thigh kick, counter right hand by Buckboard. Front kick by Romano. Good low check from Viktor. He is built like steel, Viktor Akimov. In our interview yesterday, he invited me to punch him in the midsection and I hurt my hand, Stuart. It's that hard. Could do your washing on his abs. Outside leg kick just above the knee. There's one below the knee from Romano. Front kick from Viktor Akimov. Front kick from Buckboard. Both men just dipping their toes in the proverbial waters and seeing what each other has to offer here.
Yeah, well, we saw Buckboard in the opening round back in March. They're taking out the very tough Thai Sinsom Pinong. And he is back in here today. Let's not forget, he has the same South American roots as the K1 legend, Ernesto Hoost.
Nice left hook on the inside there from Buckboard. Inside leg kick to the femoral profunda from Akimov and fires a front kick to the midsection. Another inside thigh kick from the Russian. Eats the right hand. Doubles up on the back leg, front kick to Romano. Needs to check those low kicks of Akimov. Body to head from Romano, changing levels. That hook's got some starch behind it. Gloves turned outwards here on Romano. That more Thai style guard on Buckboard. The boxing style guard more on Viktor Akimov. Chin a little high though on Viktor. Needs to tuck it here. Buckboard wants to fight that. Find that pulverizing right hand down the tube. Step through knee to a right hand from Buckboard. Immediately covers up off the counter. Checks the low kick. Solid left cross there from Akimov. Where's the counter right hand to the jaw? Body shot. Should have thrown the left hook over the top. Romano. There's the left hand from Romano. Just to the ear and another one to the temple there. Buckboard finding range. The lead hand is low on Viktor Akimov. There's an opening here for Romano. It's called the left hook. Oh, he gets caught! He gets caught! Romano Buckboard goes down in center ring. The mouth guard dislodged. He makes it up on the count of seven. Points to his mouth guard.
Up until the end of the first round, Buckboard had been leading in points. His effective boxing combinations had been putting Viktor Akimov on his back foot. And despite Akimov landing some excellent inside thigh kicks and low kicks, his boxing just wasn't making any impact on Buckboard. Throughout the first round, Buckboard had constantly been pushing Akimov back, and his combinations had rocked Akimov's head numerous times, but it was apparent that Akimov had at least attempted to play some head games. He threw a spinning roundhouse kick that I have a feeling was aimed to bait Buckboard into his range for the spinning back fist, because Buckboard had talked about how Akimov's back fist really, he wanted to prove that it wouldn't affect him. And I think that this was part of Akimov's game plan to lure him in. And at the end of the first round, with 13 seconds left, Buckboard had pushed Viktor against the ropes. He was engaging in another one of his boxing combinations when out of nowhere, this seemingly innocuous shot to the stomach folded Buckboard to the canvas with just 13 seconds left. And looking at the replay, you can see exactly how well placed the shot was. But at the moment, I had no idea what was going on. All I had to see was in front of me, Buckboard crumpling over in pain. He'd spit out his mouthpiece, had somehow gotten to his feet, and somehow made it to the second round.
Romano's got some work to do here, Stuart.
He certainly has, coming back from that shot to the body at the end of the first round. And he's down again.
Folds him in half, and it's good night, Irene! The outright underdog, Viktor Akimov, the first knockout of the night here in the K1 Max. He advances unscathed, unblemished in the semi-finals. My word! Absolutely folded him. And Akimov, look how fresh he is, Stuart.
Yes, that's a very, very important point there right now. The two quarterfinals we've seen so far went the distance, they went to decisions, but Viktor Akimov has managed to finish things off at the beginning of the second round, so he's going to be relatively fresh going into the semifinals.
You know, it's a basic rule of any sport that you got to have fire in the belly, you got to have ice in the veins, as Federer says, and you got to have respect for everyone that you face. You certainly need the desire to win. You've got to have the clarity to stay focused, but you got to be on your guard against every opponent. And it looked like Viktor Akimov had completely caught Romano Backboard off guard. And that was it. That was the end of the road for the fighter that I had hoped would make it through to the finals. You know, it would have been amazing to see a Buakaw versus Romano final, but it was not meant to be. And instead, it was Viktor Akimov who had punched his ticket to the semifinals. Now we move on to Kasper Muschinski versus Zora Okopian. And this fight was expected to be a raging battle from start to finish. And the two are supremely evenly matched in the odds, although the favors were in favor of Muschinski going into this. But it was everyone's expectation that Okopian and Muschinski would completely cancel one another out. It would have been 9, perhaps 12 minutes of just evenly matched fighting. At least that was the expectation. Let's see how it turned out.
Poland versus Armenia for the right to fight an unblemished Viktor Akimov in semi-final number 2. An artist versus a blue-collar brawler. Paintbrushes versus sledgehammers. An all-European affair for the last place in the final 4. 3x3, one extra round in case of a draw. Michael Chevallo, Stuart Fulton with you. Early leg kick from Kasper goes down to the lead calf. High kick from Zora. Okopian on the outside. Good check of the inside thigh kick. Short overhand right there from Zora to the left orbital. Outside leg from Muschinski fires the uppercut. Got good tight boxing on him, Muschinski. Was a little stiff in the first round back in March. Seems a little looser here tonight, Stuart.
Well, yeah, he stamped his ticket to the quarterfinals with that upset win over Stoyan Koprivlensky in March. And he's been billed as the revenge of the underdog. Nobody saw him coming this far, and he has so far proven everybody wrong.
Before we saw him in March, nobody outside of Poland knew who Kasper Muschinski was. I bet not too many people in Poland knew who he was. He went home, though, to a state reception, got to meet politicians and celebrities, and was given the red carpet treatment in Poland upon his return. Uppercut to right hand from Zora. You see how Kasper wants to get on the inside, stay in the phone booth, and drive those power-laden hands to the body, to the jaw of Zora. Zora on the outside, circling off to his right. You know, Kasper would like nothing more to set up a rematch with Stoyan in the final. Stoyan's already made it through past Buakaw in the semi-final number 1. Kasper has already said, I'd like to rematch Stoyan in the final. Zora Okopian, I don't believe, expected this early pressure in the opening minute and a half from Kasper Muschinski. Muschinski wasting no time. That's another good combination, though, from Zora. And then the slight lean back to evade the counter. Body shot from Muschinski. Okopian looks for the overhand right. Thrusts out the jab, the Armenian goes downstairs. Then the front kick off the lead leg. High check from Muschinski. Just tried to turn Zora into that right hand. Step through knee. Zora goes turtle shell in the corner. Tries to whip out a left hook. Jab to overhand right. Jab again from Okopian. Tight guard again. Looks at the high knee. Muschinski cannot afford to slow down. He must set the metronome at a very high rhythm here against Zora. Front kick. Back against the ropes. Going counterclockwise. But this has been a good round, I feel, for Kasper Muschinski. Goes body, goes head. All edge at the Kasper 10-9, Stuart.
Yep, have to say that. Muschinski, he had, with his pressure, he had Okopian covering up and using the front teep, the push kick, to try and gain some distance.
Now, throughout the first round, Kasper Muschinski had been applying tremendous pressure on Zora Okopian, landing powerful lead left hooks and body shots to the liver, whereas Zora Okopian's strategy was just putting him at a disadvantage. He was being defensive, and he kept shelling up, and he was on his back foot and constantly going against the ropes. And the question remained, could he turn things around and become the aggressor in the second round? We're going to find out.
I'm very... high quantity, high volume opening stanza from Kasper Bezhitsky. Second round set for 3x3. Hands up high on Kasper. Going to the legs early. Akopian goes high on the inside thigh, then a front kick to the left ribs. Nice combination, back leg, front leg from Akopian, inside thigh. The leg work of Sora early on in this round, the high kick! Tries to loop the shin around the back of the neck. Sora again though, choosing to sit against the ropes, as he did for much of the first round, Stuart.
Yeah, he's finding himself constantly backed up with this pressure from the pole. Those body shots, just staying in his face, mixing things up with those low calf kicks.
And the way that Kasper is sneaking that left hand beneath the right elbow of Sora and hitting that liver section, it is superb. Again, he throws it, then goes upstairs with the right hook. You didn't expect Sora to be this flat-footed, Stuart.
No, I am a thorough Akopian fan, it has to be said, but Bezhitsky has done nothing but fully impress me since we saw him back in March, and he is continuing that here today.
He has come with a pocket full of quarters tonight, Kasper Bezhitsky, inside the phone booth, dropping quarter after quarter, staying there on Zora Akopian and scoring. And again, Kasper gets him against the ropes. Akopian really needs to start working now. Kasper continually coming forward will not look good on the scorecards. The judges won't view it favorably for Zora if he keeps coming backwards like this. Sticking jab between the eyes, nailed him with that one. He needed the right hand for company. Three punch combination, leg kick, right cross from Bezhitsky. Scores for the pole.
Just myriad shots here from Kasper Bezhitsky. He is not allowing Akopian to know where these strikes are coming from, upstairs to the body, downstairs, low down on the calves. Everything is just coming at him constantly, backing him up into the ropes, into the corners.
Final 10 seconds. That's combination work from Kasper Bezhitsky. I believe he's going to win another round here, Kasper.
The second round was a total repeat of the first, and if anything, Kasper had shown more dominance. His combinations were hitting home. He was getting 5-6-shot combinations compared to Zora Akopian's maybe 2-3-shot combinations. And where Kasper seemed fluid, Zora seemed shut down, and he was having a hard time getting away from the ropes again. So clearly, Kasper was leading going into the third round.
Now, Bezhitsky needs to fight intelligently, apply the pressure for 3 more minutes, it'll see him through. Zora always has that proverbial rabbit he can pull out of the hat. Can he find it though? As he brought the bag of tricks, you see Zora trying to stay in center ring now, not allow himself to be backed off, checks the low kick, goes high for the round kick, looks for a calf kick. Calf kick from Kasper. Then goes the liver. Zora hooks upstairs, kicks the back leg. This is better from Zora. Gonna get away from the corner, and he does. Good combination work again from Bezhitsky. And there's a combo, lightning fast from Zora, finally pulling the trigger, Akopian. But he needs to do a lot more. Trailing 2018 on our unofficial scorecards. Loads up the left hand. A molar rattler. Double jab to right. And there's a return favor from Kasper. Much better round from Zora though. But he's backed against the ropes again. He can't go there. Eats an uppercut.
Oh yeah, he started this round so much better. He was staying in his face. He was pushing forward. But you see, Bezhitsky, he's got all those tools and they've all been working so far. He's still touching up that liver on the left-hand side.
Uppercut from Bezhitsky, body shot from Zora, like he's digging for oil. Left hand, right hand from Zora, leans back against the counter, checks the low kick, goes to the body, then up to the head lead hook. Uppercut, good counter right hand from Bezhitsky. Wild looping left hand, straight right to the schnoz there from Zora Akopian. 110 remains. Big body shot. Pelts it into the midsection of Kasper Mezhinsky throws the right hand of the lead punch. Zorin could be winning this final round, but it may not be enough to get him over the line. 50 seconds remain. Inside leg from Kasper Mezhinsky. Zorin with the left hand. Mezhinsky's chin is made of granite. He is wearing these punches from Zorin like they're nothing, shaking them off. Zorin takes a big breath, goes to the liver again. Left hand, little pirouette to center ring. Like old Rowdy Roddy Piper said, every time Zora thinks he's got the answers, Mezhinsky changes the questions. High right round kick there from Zora Kopian. High kick from Mezhinsky. We are going down to the judges here in quarterfinal number four. The best round of the fight for Zora was the final round, but I believe Mezhinsky takes it here, Stuart.
Yes, that third and final round was definitely much more in favor of Zora Kopian, but will it be enough on the judges' scorecards?
Can you pass me my words and get me a napkin? Because I believe I'm about to eat them again. I had Zora Kopian, my number one seed in this tournament. I believe on my unofficial scorecard, he's about to be eliminated.
I'll give you those words with a bowl of rice over to the ring for the officials now.
Judge Ishimura, 30-28. Anna Kassel.
30-28.
Judge Mizutani.
Mezhinsky.
30-28. Anna Kassel.
30-28. Mezhinsky. And again, exactly the same. It's a unanimous decision in favor of the Pole. He goes through to the semi-finals to face Viktor Akimov.
A semi-final of underdogs. Akimov versus Mezhinsky. Very few people predicted it. On the other side of the draw, Denge Silva and Stoyan Koprovlensky. 8-10. Four remain in the K1 World Match. Best round of the fight, the final round from Zora Kopian. But my word, what a performance from Kasper Mezhinsky. He had more combinations than a Sudoku puzzle, the Pole. And he completely unraveled and solved the riddle of the bewitching nobleman.
And just like that, Kasper Mezhinsky had made his way all the way to the semifinals. He was on top of the world, ready to show everyone that he had what it takes to become champion. All he had to do was defeat the Russian adventurer. But again, this is a K1 tournament, and you never know what's going to happen. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of K1 Battlecast. We hope you enjoyed our coverage of the quarterfinals, and next week we'll be diving into the semifinals where Stoyan Koprivlensky faces Denge Silva and Viktor Akimov takes on Kasper Mezhinsky. Just who's going to make it to the final round? You never know, because it is a K1 tournament and all kinds of crazy things can happen. Find out next week. Putting together this episode was really interesting. I got to watch the footage again, and it revealed a lot of details that I missed even while sitting ringside. And the chaos of live production often means that my attention is split between many things. I've got to listen to the director give me timing cues for Michael. I've got to manage all of the information as it comes into me and to pass notes to Michael. And, you know, a lot of fans thought that Buakaw might have won the fight against Stoyan, but if you review the footage, it clearly shows that Stoyan was ahead in points. Again, Viktor Akimov, when he beat Romano, I had no idea that it was perfect placement of that fist right into the lower rib section of backboard, right on that liver, and it folded him to the canvas. There was a lot of detail that I missed while I was watching it live, and it really, you know, it survives the hype through a second playback. I truly enjoyed it. I hope you'll join us next week when we go through the breakdown of the semifinals, and then on to the finals after that. And if we don't have enough time or there's not enough material, we'll probably just put all three in one episode next week. We'll find out. Until then, we hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everyone.